I'm real excited, but I'm also realizing that the series that we're in for September and October is on spiritual warfare. And the title's called Waging War, Armed for Battle. And the reality is, whether you believe it or not, or whether you are aware of it or not, or even if you're experiencing it or not, we are in a spiritual war. There is good and evil. It is just the facts. Scripture, Jesus Christ, and there is the devil. There are two sides. We live in a kingdom. We have a heavenly kingdom. We have an earthly kingdom, all right? And so we are living in a battlefield, in a war. And we can either be casualties of that, or we can be armed and ready for the battles that are facing us and that are still to come. Amen? And that's our choice, all right? And the beautiful thing about our Savior, Jesus Christ, is that when he left and the Holy Spirit came, he didn't just say, well, good luck with all of that. Obviously, we have the written word of God, which enables us to know how to be able to defeat the enemy, his presence. And we're going to talk today a lot about the armor coming out of Ephesians 6. But I'm just so grateful that God didn't just leave us and go, well, good luck. He's given us the tools to be able to fight against the schemes of the enemy, because the enemy is a schemer and he's deceptive. And if we're not aware and if we're not alert, even as Christians, we can be drawn into what's going on in the darkness of this world. So let's pray as we get into scripture today. God, we thank you so much. Thank you for your presence here today. God, we honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for meeting us here. Father, thank you for your word that is living and active. God, thank you that it transforms our mind. It changes us. And God, we pray that you would open our hearts today. Open our eyes today. Speak to us. Challenge us. Transform us today by the power of your word. Help us to be alert. Help us to be knowing what the schemes of the enemy are. Help us to know the tools that you've given us so that we can be armed and ready for battle. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. So again, there's light and darkness, right? There's truth and there's deception. There's holiness and then there's compromise. Whether we acknowledge it or not, it is here and we are in a battle. The problem is many Christians live as life on a playground versus on a battlefield. I want you to think about that for a minute. Our Christians in America, we've gotten real soft and real kind of whiny and kind of, you know, it's really true. When you go to other countries, Christians there are fighting for their life. They're walking miles to get to church. They're dealing with things that we don't deal with. And today as I talk and as I share, this is not condemnation, but as your pastor and as your shepherd, I do believe there are times where we have to be woken up. My job is to alert you to make sure that you're listening to scripture, that you're aware of what's going on around you, and that you know the tools that you have so you don't just have to be a casualty of the enemy. I get so tired of watching the enemy destroy people, and they have the tools, they're just not using them. They're walking around, the tools are like clinging, clanging, and they're like, my life's falling apart, everything's broken. It's like, pick your tools up. Use what God's given you, right? So that gets frustrating sometimes as a shepherd. And so today, as I share, you might hear passion, but it's love, all right? Because I care about you and I care about your families. I care about your relationships. And again, God has given us everything that we need to fight the enemy of our soul. You have to understand the battle is real and the battle is for your soul. The battle is for your kids' soul, your grandkids, your legacy, your destiny. It's real. And the enemy doesn't fight fair. Imagine this. Imagine a soldier walking into enemy territory with no armor, no weapons, and no training. Who would ever do that? Who would ever go into a war not prepared, right? That's crazy. Yet spiritually, that's exactly how a lot of believers are living, unarmed and unprepared. Well, I'm going to tell you, we cannot afford to do that in this day and age. We cannot. As individuals and as a corporate church, We cannot afford to be operating that way. So turn with me. We're going to be looking at Ephesians. We'll look at a bunch of different scriptures as well. But our main focus is going to be Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Right now, we're going to start off with this. It says this, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of this unseen world. There's so much to unpack there. But I love this because you have to understand that the enemy has strategies for you, for your family, for your marriage, for your relationships, for this church. He looks anywhere and everywhere where he can get in and get little cracks and try to be able to get in and then expose everything and exploit everything. That's the enemy of our soul. And that's why it's so important to use the tools God has given us. The rest of that scripture says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. What does that mean? That means the people in your life that tick you off, that frustrate you, that break your heart, that make you mad, that's not where the battle is. It's not with flesh and blood people. Now, trust me, that's a hard one to live out because when people hurt you and things happen and it is flesh on flesh, it's hard not to go right away to, well, they did this and I'm mad and I'm ticked off. It's hard to go, well, you know what? There's something else going on here. This is spiritual. It's hard to then flip into that. But that's what, as Christ followers, God has asked us to do, is to realize this, to recognize this is spiritual. So we have to understand that there's spiritual warfare going on. Now listen, I'm not saying there's a demon behind everything, right? Not saying that. But what I am saying, there's a lot of darkness and a lot of demonic activity going on that we are completely unaware of, all right? So there is a balance to that, but we live in a battle going on. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10. We'll come back to Ephesians, all right? It'll be on the screen as well. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We use what? His weapons, God's mighty weapons, to knock down strongholds of human reasoning, right? A lot of the battle goes on in people's minds. It's where it gets stuck, right? God has given us spiritual weapons to pull down strongholds, to reclaim our inheritance, and to defeat the enemy. Amen, right? He has given us spiritual weapons for that. Amen. Just like in any battle, we must know our weapons and train to use them effectively, you guys. That's a key point right there. If you don't know what a stronghold is, all right, because it talks about, right, bringing down those strongholds. A stronghold is a literal fortified place of physical defense. Like, that's an actual stronghold. But in the spiritual, it's a mental barrier that hinders people from growing in God. So what that means is, as a Christ follower, you can have a stronghold in your life that needs to be broken off, that needs to come down. And that's not something that you can just kind of wish away. It's something that's been fortified, that has taken root in your life, and it's now on you, right? So scripture says here that we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down those strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. That's the only way that those things come down, is by the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and through prayer and scripture. Amen? So have you ever wondered, like, wow, this person, they just can't get it. They just keep going around the same mountain. They're hindered. Well, that's because there's somewhere in their life, there's some sort of stronghold that needs to be broken off in the name of Jesus. You see, the enemy of our soul, Satan, that's his name. The Bible says that he is an angel of light. He comes as an angel of light. Let's pause and think about that for a moment. We often see in movies and things where, you know, you get the red devil with the horns and the pitchfork. Or sometimes he might be more of like a dark demonic creature. Those are things where we say, okay, that obviously is the devil, right? But he comes as an angel of light, so he doesn't always come in those scary forms. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, but I'm not surprised, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And guys, that's why it's so important that we are aware, that we are spiritually alert to what's going on. Because it may look fun. It may look, well, that's not really a big deal. That's just for children. That's just a toy. That's this or that. No, he comes as an angel of light to deceive you and to start to draw you in to his world. It's interesting when you look at Hollywood, and listen, I'm not here to ding on all the things going on, but there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in Hollywood. And do you realize there's only one devil, right? Jesus, God, is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. The devil cannot. There's only one of him. So if he's somewhere, he's not somewhere else. Do you get that? Now, obviously, he has fallen angels, and they do his work for him, of course. But there's a big difference. And, you know, you look at Hollywood, and you just go, that is where the media, the movies, where all of our kids are getting their influence for how to think, how to dress, what to wear, what to buy. That is the influence. Well, who do you think is behind what's going on in Hollywood? Now, there are Christians in Hollywood. There are people who know Jesus. So again, I'm not digging on it, but let's be real. Satan fell from heaven. He had worship in him. He was creative. He was beautiful at one point. You don't think he's got a stronghold there into all that's going on to all of our families and through our Netflix and through our TVs and through our computers? Do you not think he has power for all that? Absolutely. Amen. And I'm not saying go throw your TVs out. I'm saying to you, parents and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, we need to be aware of this influence that is getting into the souls of our kids, our grandkids. I got grandkids now to think about, you know? And again, this has been here forever and ever and ever and ever. But we need to be alert, we need to be aware, and we need to utilize the weapons that God has given us. Prayer is one of those weapons. It's not just for comfort, it's a combat tool. Now, I didn't bring it with me, but I've been reading a book on spiritual warfare and deliverance, and it's by John Eckhart, if you're interested. And just phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. And in there, he says, prayer is a tool of confrontation, not just communication. All right? So when we pray, we don't just pray to feel better. We pray to shift atmospheres. All right? If we truly believe that you're a Christ follower and Jesus Christ lives in you, that means wherever you go, Jesus Christ's power is going with you, correct? That means the light of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus goes everywhere. So when light goes to darkness, what happens? Darkness has to flee, right? The power of Jesus is in us. Guys, that's how we are to be operating and living, so full of Jesus' power and love that where we go, people recognize it's something different. And it's not about us. It's about his power. Amen? Prayer shifts atmospheres. It pulls down strongholds. It advances the kingdom. So what's at stake? Our mind. Your mind is the battlefield. Your family, the enemy is targeting your family. Whether you believe it or not, he wants the legacy of your family and your destiny. Warfare intensifies as you get closer to your purpose. Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil, every single one of them. All right? And again, that's the beautiful part. We don't have to be casualties of the war. We can be armed and ready and fighting in that and advancing the kingdom. You see, Satan's kingdom is structured. There are principalities, there are powers, there are rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And we're going to get to the rest of Ephesians here in a minute. But there is encouragement today, all right, in this battle. Again, we must remember this, all right? This is really encouraging, I promise. There are more with us than against us. So just remember, when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he took fallen angels with him, but he took only one third. That means there are two thirds left. So for every demon from hell, there are two angels. So you have to understand that there's more power, plus God is just bigger and mightier anyways. But the bottom line is, there are more with us than against us. the forces of light are greater than the forces of darkness. And Jesus is the Lord of heaven's armies. That's such a beautiful visual. He controls it all. Jehovah, which means Yahweh, that's the personal name for God. Jehovah, and I'm not going to say this right, but it's like Sabaoth. It's a biblical name translating to the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. He is in charge of all of that. And he's our dad. Like, the enemy's coming at you and you just need to remember your position. Hey, devil, why are you messing with me? Jesus is my father and he's my dad. And first of all, he already won the victory against you. So in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Does that make sense though? We forget our position as sons and daughters. I challenge us to remember what Christ has done for us and his power that is in us only because of Jesus, nothing because of any of us, right? Darkness may operate through people, through governments, right? Cultural systems, education, media. We see it all over. But God, his power is supreme. His power is above it all. His name reigns above it all. Amen? So when you think about the Bible, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it is actually a book of warfare. When you read it, it uses words like this: abolish, break down, contend, destroy, fight, prevail, smite, wrestle. I mean, these aren't fluffy words. The Bible is about warfare because obviously there is a real enemy out there. And I'm so thankful that God has prepared us, has given us what we need for the battle. And we are not to avoid it. We are not to run from the demonic world. We're to run to it and bring the light of Jesus to dispel it. Amen? God uses ordinary people, thank God, empowered by grace and authority to change this world. And God's calling all of you, church, to rise up, to be the men and women of faith that God has called you to be. We are no longer walking around beat up by the devil and the enemy. Now listen, I understand we go through seasons where we might be beat up for a little bit. We might be hurting and maybe on the ground just like I've been ran over by 12 semis and I just can't get up. There are seasons where we go through that, but that's not how it should be all the time. Does that make sense? God's given us the tools. And I'm not saying we don't have feelings and those things don't matter, because they do. And I love the fact that Jesus cares about all of that. But far too often, church, we operate way less than we should. We're the army of God. God has given us the tools to fight the enemy and to fight for each other. Hello. When you've got friends and people that are going through things, you know, instead of putting on Facebook a little, I'm praying for you. I mean, are you really praying? Are you really on your knees fighting for them? I mean, that's how important this is. If you truly love somebody, you'll love them on your knees first. All right, so let's get back to Ephesians. You guys doing all right? You guys good? Are you excited for this? It's going to be good the next few weeks, you guys. We're going there. You just prepare your hearts because God wants us to be ready and prepared. And so that's our job. All right, so turn back to Ephesians 6 because we're going to get through the rest of it. But just real quick, Ephesians was written by Paul, one of the prison epistles. If you don't know what that means, he wrote it while he was literally in prison in Rome. And an epistle is a letter. So in our Bible, when we look at Ephesians, it has chapters, it's divided that way, but it wasn't that way. It was an actual letter that he wrote to the church of Ephesus, all right? And so even in when it says, finally, be strong, or, you know, he's talking as a closing thought, all right? Because it's a letter, not just a book of the Bible. So just to help us understand that. Ephesians, he was dealing with, at the very core, what it means to be Christian, all right, both in faith and practice. And so that's why it was so important towards the end of this letter. Ephesus, there was a lot just like today, a lot of magic and witchcraft. And there were Christians, of course, coming to know Christ, but there was very much of a pagan world. And so in this letter, he puts in this chapter 6 that we're going to talk about, the armor of God and the importance to these Christians of making sure that you're ready to fight against the enemy. And so I'm so thankful. And, you know, you think about it, if it was good then, it's good for us today. I mean, it's the same. We're in the same world. The enemy hasn't changed his tactics. He still wants to destroy Christ followers, just like all the way back then. But the Bible has given us the tools. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, so let's go there. We're going to look at verses 10 through 18, all right? Verse 10, a final word, all right? So imagine him like, and he's kind of closing out the letter-ish. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Verse 13 says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Verse 15, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Next two words, really important. What's it say? A lot of us have been lulled in and we are not alert. We are not aware what's going on in our homes, what's going on in our kids' lives. We are not aware. Scripture says, stay alert. And be persistent in your prayers for all the believers everywhere. There's so much action going on in this chapter. Put on, you know, do this, pray in the Spirit, stay alert. These are all actions. We have a responsibility in this. It's not just our job to be saved, follow Christ, and then sit down and be like, oh, good, Jesus got it. He does. He's got it. But we have a job. We have a responsibility as well to put on the armor. Thank you all for wearing clothes today. You put on clothes to come here, all right? So we can, in the same way, put on the armor of God. When you get out off your bed, pray that prayer. Ask the Lord to put on the armor of God so that when you go out, you're ready and you're prepared for what's coming at you, all right? So let's break this down a little bit. You guys doing all right? I'm sorry, your pastor's a little unhinged right now. It's okay. Good stuff. All right. So first thing we got to focus on is this. We got to be strong in yourself, be strong in your own education, be strong in your finances, be strong in your, no, be strong in the Lord, period. Not in our own strength, because we'll fail every single time. We don't have what it takes. Strength comes through prayer, worship, the word, fasting, and community. That's where the strength comes. And these are the things that we're going to be talking about for these next few weeks in this series, the tools that God has given us in warfare. Prayer, worship, word, fasting, community. These are the things, this is how we fight our battles, right? We fight it in worship, we fight it in the word, we fight it in community. There are people that aren't a part of churches because you know why? They stay away because they realize if they get in community, accountability's there, truth is there, and they're going to have to change. They're going to have to do something different with their life, all right? So we've got to be strong in the Lord, and again, strength comes through prayer. But we've also got to put on, the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and we continue to pray. So let's talk real quick about the belt of truth. It protects your core, all right? Think about your belt. Spiritually seeking, it protects your identity and your integrity. The belt held the Roman soldier's tunic and the sword in place, all right? So think about that. Truth holds everything together. It refers both to God's truth and to living truthfully, all right? So that's what that holds together. It keeps you stable, keeps you grounded in a world full of deception and lies. Okay? That's needed, you guys, right? Truth helps you discern right from wrong. Without truth, the rest of the armor doesn't hold. And let me remind you, truth is Christ, right? He is truth. John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Again, Jesus Christ being truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The breastplate of righteousness, it protects your heart, where motives and desires and emotions dwell. This is not your own righteousness, all right? Make that clear, because that's flawed, but it's God's righteousness that he's given us through Christ. It protects your heart from guilt and shame and accusation, helps you to live uprightly and reflect God's character. So we need his righteousness, not ours, again. When Satan tries to remind you of your past, God's righteousness reminds you who you are in Christ. So again, you see why those tools are so important? Because again, the enemy will come and you have to be ready to be able to take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. The shoes of peace, they protect your steps, your direction, your purpose. Roman soldiers during that time had studded sandals so they could have sure footing in battle. The gospel gives you the peace that God has and the readiness to move forward. It keeps you stable under pressure. Helps you carry the good news to others. We're called to be peacemakers, right? Allows you to stand firm when life tries to knock you down. Peace from the gospel gives you both stability and mobility. Do you see why these are all individually so important? The shield of faith protects your whole body, especially against incoming attacks. The Roman soldiers could lock together with others so that they could be protected. I don't know which war movie it is, but I remember it was something they called like turtling, and all of the soldiers would get together and they'd put their shields up and it would create like a tortoise shell. And when things would come, nobody could even penetrate that because all of their shields together were covering each other. And I just thought that's such a beautiful example of the shield of faith. And then even coming together. Why is it important to be in community? Well, because more shields, the better, right? If a war is coming at you, if you got one shield, okay, well, thank you, I got one. But how much better if there's multiple of us guarding all sides, right? Community is important. Faith isn't a feeling. It's choosing to trust God's truth over your circumstances, amen? The helmet of salvation protects your mind, your thoughts, your beliefs, your mental health. Salvation is not just about going to heaven, you guys. It's about your new identity in Christ, your hope. We are changed when we know Christ. We're a new creation, Scripture talks about. The helmet of salvation guards against that negativity, destructive thoughts that are untrue. It guards against that. It anchors your mind in God's promises and his perspective. I saw on Facebook, you know, they have the reels and things, and I saw this one, and I thought it was just so interesting. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a gentleman. I don't know his name, actually, but he's been documenting his Christ-following process. So I think recently he's been knowing Jesus for 82 days now. And so he was beforehand a transgender, so he was living life for quite some time as Nicole, and somewhere along the way he found Jesus. And it's been wrecking his life in such a beautiful way. And so he goes on daily and just talks about what he's learning as a Christ follower. He's like, day 75, I'm going to this church. And, you know, and again, he's baby. But he's recognizing even now what God is doing and the process of change and how it's changing his life. Well, on day, I think it was day 82, he was sharing about spiritual warfare. And he was sharing about how he was having these thoughts, the enemy's coming in and trying to get him to, you know, think what he's doing is fake and it doesn't matter. And he realized the purpose of salvation, the helmet of salvation. And he started to realize, you know what? I've been saved by grace. God has taken me out of the pit. And he started to remember what God did. And all of a sudden, that salvation moment, that remembrance of it, he said the enemy went away. All of a sudden, he no longer was dealing with those thoughts. And that's the big deal, because we have to use the tools that God has given us, right? There's so much power in our salvation. When the enemy tries to come, just remind him what Jesus did for you. You're not the same anyways. You're a new creation, so stop trying to remind me of what I used to be. Amen? So powerful. These tools that God has given us, we're not using them like we should, church. And that's on us. And I think after today, we are going to start using them differently, right? All right, let's continue on, because I got to get through a few more things. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It protects and it can attack us. It can attack too, because it's defensive. Protects from lies, temptations, and spiritual confusion. Hello. This is the only offensive weapon, there we go, in the armor. It refers to the spoken act of word of God, both scripture and the Holy Spirit's timely truth. All right. The importance is Jesus used scripture to defeat the devil, to defeat temptation. There's power in scripture. It's not just words. Knowing the Bible enables you to respond rightly when attacked spiritually. All right. And then the last concept is prayer. All right. It's not listed as a piece of the armor, but it says to continue to pray and to stay alert. All right. Praying guards our connection with God. It keeps you alert and aligned and spiritually empowered. Amen? It's all important. So why is the armor of God so important? Well, the big deal is the battle is real. And again, you can choose to not believe it. It doesn't matter. It's happening. You're targeted. The enemy strategizes against you. He wants ultimately your soul. God, though, provides everything that you need, and victory is possible. So prayer is one of our weapons of war, all right? And again, back to the book, John Eckhart outlines 5 functions of prayer and spiritual warfare, and I just want to go through them really quickly here, all right? I know there's a lot of information, but guys, this is just good, all right? So prayer is our weapon of war, and it disarms demons, all right? It weakens their strategies. It releases angelic assistance, right? Thank you, Jesus. When we pray, God, heaven's armies are doing what they need to do. It's a beautiful thing. Prayer shifts atmospheres. It breaks generational curses, and it closes demonic portals, right? James 5:16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." One of the things that prayer does is it closes demonic portals, and I want to just talk a minute about that. Again, whether you believe it or not, there are portals that are open in your life, in your heart, in your house, with your kids. And it's like this. Think about this. If you leave your front door open overnight and in a bad neighborhood, let's just say, would you be shocked to find intruders? Right? Exactly. The same thing as a parent, you wouldn't go to an inner city and dark place, drop your kid off in the alley, say, I'll see you later. You wouldn't do that. But as parents and guardians and people, we often do that because we allow our kids to have unaccountable access to the internet. It's crazy what's on the internet and the connection. And I mean, games have chats. And I mean, it just puts our kids in a place that they're so vulnerable. We would never do that practically, but to be able to just give them access to that, it puts them in a place where they don't understand. They're not able to figure that out. I was telling Chuck on the way here, you know, when we were raising the girls, they didn't have smartphones when they were younger, you know, initially, because they were young. And we understood that you have to be mature and responsible and understanding to be able to be in a world that is all things coming at you. And so I know they didn't love that. They didn't love that growing up. They had track phones. And so, you know, all their friends at junior high and high school had all the cool phones. But as they grew up and as we could trust them, you know, we would allow them to have those things. But it was a big deal not to just go, hey, here you go, and just go, well, you know, good luck with that. The other thing that really worked for us as parents is we, when they were younger, we would have them put them on the counter at night. They didn't have access to that stuff throughout the nighttime. Are you kidding me? And it doesn't matter. Like, again, you want to protect your children from what they have access to when you're not around. And so, again, as parents, there's a lot of things that we can do to close portals of hell that are coming after your kids, all right? It's a big deal. And we, again, you just wouldn't leave your door open in a bad neighborhood, right? It's the same thing with those kinds of things. And hear me say, I'm not trying to knock on all the things that are out there. I'm just trying to say, be alert, be aware. Don't just assume, oh, this isn't a big deal. No, what's behind it? Who's behind it? What's the spirit, all right? Not everything is necessary. So there are four common ways that portals open in your life, all right? And this is, there's probably more, but these are the four I'm sticking on. The number one, and this is for all of us, all right? Me too, right? Media and entertainment. Portal from hell, right? And again, not dogging on anything, but I'm just saying. Guard yourself, guard your mind, guard your heart, guard your family, all right? You wonder why your life's chaos? You wonder why your kids are struggling so much? Maybe take a look at what they're ingesting, what's going on, right? Even in your own heart, if you have a lot of anxiety and fear and you're getting crazy dreams, what are you watching? What are you listening to? What's around you? Because whatever that is gets inside, right? Even the word entertainment starts with enter, like, right? It enters in, right? Horror films, occult shows, violent or perverse music, all those things open up demonic gates. Here's an example, right? A child begins having night terrors after watching a show filled with witchcraft and spell casting. Oh, but it was just a cute little show. Well, a gate was opened, right? We can't mess around with that. Magic, darkness, those things are evil. We have to call things good and evil. There can't be like, well, it's not that bad. No, there's good and evil, amen? So we just need to be alert and on guard. I'm not going to give you 50 things to go take out of your house, you know, when you go home. Because here's the thing. The Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so that's on you as parents. Like, God will hold you accountable for that. So that's on you. I'm just saying as your pastor, I think as a church and as a people, we've got to do a better job. I think we need to look at what's around us, what's in us, what's coming at us. Because we'd probably have a lot less trouble. A lot less sickness, a lot less anxiety and depression and anger. I think if we would get delivered, get freed from some of this stuff, that we literally are like opening up. All right, that's all I'm saying. All right, that sound good? Okay, second thing. Objects in our home, all right? It's true. There are things that are tied to witchcraft, false religions. You have to be even careful when you sometimes go on mission trips and you bring back little figurines. Like, there are things that are idols and have been prayed over and satanic rituals. You have to be careful about that stuff. Yeah. Crystals and tarot cards and dream catchers, those kinds of things. They invite oppression, right? Yeah. They invite spirits. I'm the kind of person, and you know, Chuck and I have been married for 11 years and known each other for 13 and a half years. I'm kind of one of those people, it's like, I want to try to like clean out as much as possible. I've personally, and I'm not going to go into it on the pulpit, but I've had a demonic encounters enough. I've heard voices. I've seen things. I understand the reality of them. I'm not looking to say, hey, come on in. You know, I'm like pleading the blood of Jesus around my house and my doors and trying to make sure that the portals are sealed off. Does that make sense? Because I understand the reality of it. And life is hard enough. I don't need all that stuff messing around with me, right? So we've had these conversations, you know, through the years because, you know, I've had different experiences that he's had. So we've had to come together on those kinds of things. But it's important to, you know, look around. What's in your house? What's going on? All right? Those things invite oppression. Deuteronomy 7:26 talks about do not bring any detestable objects in your home. All right? It's pretty clear. Don't even bring them in because it invites chaos. It invites those spirits in your house. And here's the thing. My house, I want it to be a sanctuary. I want it to be a place where the presence of God is at. When people come over that they go, oh, peace. And, you know, I want that kind of place to be in my house. And so those things aren't welcome. And we say that often. Another portal to hell that you can open up is a word spoken in anger or bitterness. All right. Those aren't good spirits. Those are evil spirits. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Curses, gossip, slander, those things release demonic activity because it's from hell. That stuff, your tongue can be used from literal hell. And so you want to be careful about the words that you're speaking. Those things can open up portals. So you need to close that stuff. The last one that we'll talk about today, there are more, but again, we don't have all the time in the world to talk about it. Sexual sin and compromise, all right? Pornography, adultery, fornication, those kinds of things create soul ties and demonic entry points, all right? Lots of ways that the enemy can come in to our lives, and so we have to be aware, we have to be alert, and we have to take action against it, all right? So let me share real quick, too, the difference between oppression and possession. All right, because there are two very different types. Oppression, all right, that can be, a Christian can be oppressed, meaning there can be forces, demonic forces that harass an individual from the outside, all right, often leading to negative thoughts or feelings, behaviors, but without full control or internal possession of the person. Does that make sense? So I want to make sure you understand that. Oppression is coming from the outside, all right? Spirits and things harassing, even settling on, but not in, okay? Possible signs. Now, these are signs. This doesn't mean that if you have this or you know somebody, oh, well, they must have oppression. That doesn't guarantee it, but it's possible. Depression, anxiety, nightmares, hopelessness, addiction, persistent life difficulties, all right? Now, again, that's not 100%. Don't be pointing fingers, going home and saying, you know, you got oppression. This is for us to do reflection in our own life and in our own heart. Myself, I've had to pray, I've had deliverance many times over things that have been oppressive in my life and in my heart because they kept me bound, they kept me moving forward. Unforgiveness was one of them that I had to deal with. Bitterness, those things start to take weight and they weigh you down and they change how you see things. So sometimes those things have to be prayed off. You have to be delivered from that. All right, so oppression is that. Possession, all right, so a Christ follower, let me get this straight, Christ follower that has Jesus in you cannot be possessed. Got it? Because Jesus is in you, therefore Satan cannot be, all right? But there are people who Jesus is not in and Satan is in, all right? Demonic spirits are in, and so they are possessed. That is the invasion and control of a person's body, mind, or soul by an evil spirit, leading to potential symptoms of mental disorder, antisocial behavior, strange sounds, and persistent physical illness. All right, so again, not 100%, but that's when the spirit is in control and the other person is out of control. All right, possible signs even could be hallucinations, significant personality changes, antisocial behavior, violent outbursts, super strength, speaking in strange tones, and physical seizures. There was a time where I was young and was seeing in our church a young woman who was being prayed for, and she was possessed, all right? It was definitely not even oppression. And I remember being young and being terrified because I was like, she was like super strength. They had multiple guys, and she was young and so strong. And, you know, you realize that that wasn't her. That was the spirit in her. And so, of course, they prayed in the name of Jesus, and over a course of time, she was delivered and freed of that. But I remember being like, whoa, like, that's for real, you know? And I want to tell you guys, again, whether you choose to believe it or not, that this world, spiritual warfare is real. You're in it. You're living in it. It's happening all around you. And if you're wondering sometimes why life looks a certain way, ask the Lord to reveal to you what's going on. Maybe it's time to close some portals. Maybe it's time to remove some things out of your life. How do we do that? All right, we're getting ready to conclude. So we're landing the plane here. So how do we close spiritual gates? All right, these are really easy but hard to do. All right, the first one is this, repent. And I think that's for all of us. All of us here today can repent on, Lord, we have not been aware enough. We have not been alert enough of the battle that's going on. Acknowledge the sin or open door. All right, just acknowledge it and repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. He is faithful. The moment we ask for forgiveness, he's faithful to come and forgive us of our sins. And he washes those things as far as the east is from the west. All right? So repent. The second one is renounce. All right, verbally break the agreement with darkness. I renounce you in the name of Jesus. You no longer have control. You're no longer allowed here. Whatever that is, renounce that in the name of Jesus. Verbally break that agreement. Oftentimes, we agree too much with the devil and his lies. Stop agreeing with the enemy. Start agreeing with what Christ says in his word. Amen. Third thing is remove. Get rid of unclean objects or influence. Remove them, even if it makes you uncool, even if it's like, well, this doesn't look that bad. No, if it's not pointing people to Jesus, then it's deceiving you into something else. So remove it. Get it out. Replace. Fill the space with worship, prayer, and scripture. All right? Replace it. Put into it the right things. And then lastly, resist. Stay vigilant. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be terrified. Remember, Jesus won the victory already. All right? Now we live in a space and time where we're not yet in heaven. And so, you know, the enemy runs the earth right now because that's the way it works. And at some point, God's going to fix that. But his demons still run around. So we have to deal in this reality, right? But we can resist the devil and he will flee. The name of Jesus, right? Demons have to flee. The tools of the armor, making sure that we put that on daily, that we get armed up before we go out and about into this world, realizing what we're heading into. Amen? It's time to fight. It's time to arm up. It's time to be aware. The days of passive Christianity are over, you guys. They just are. We're not victims. We really are victors in Christ. But you have to decide. Are you going to be a victim? Are you going to walk around with the armor clanging and you're depressed and downtrodden? Or are you going to arm up, use the armor, and move the kingdom forward?